Hey friend, if you are listening to this podcast, then you are somebody who values growth and being intentional about who you are and who you are going to become. And not just for yourself, but for those around you. That might also be members of your immediate family. It might be friends. It might be colleagues. Well, today you are going to have a whole backpack full of tools that are going to help you to be able to move from just thinking about growth to actually seeing it happen in your life. Stay tuned.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Today, we are going to pick up with the second part of my conversation with Audrey Rischlenbacher. Yep, that's a bit of a mouthful there, but you are going to love what she has to say. She is the author of the book, The Mission Driven Life, and she is the founder of the Mission Driven Mom Academy. There's also a Mission Driven Teen Academy, and she has so many resources available on her website, The Mission Driven Mom. You're definitely going to want to go and to check out all of those resources in the academy and courses and the book that she has. You know, last week, as we were having this conversation, you know, one of the things that I refer to different times is how much I loved the fact that, and then I would go on with different things, because in Audrey's book, The Mission Driven Life, which I have read from cover to cover, she breaks down principles for life that apply. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your marital status is, your parenting status, because there are principles that we either discover and are taught and we live aligned with, or we don't. And the sad truth is that when we don't know the things that align with how God has designed us in life to work, we will suffer and other people will suffer. It's not just rebellion against God that causes suffering. It can also be just ignorance of Him and of His laws and of His principles and of His designs. Well, you are in for an absolute treat as we pick up and continue this conversation with Audrey. So put on your best listening pose and get ready as we continue with part two of my conversation with Audrey Rischlenbacher.
It reminds me of when you were talking, I was reminded of an article that a woman wrote, a mom, and she was talking about, she said, how Jordan Peterson helped me or changed my life or something like that. And she talked about how everywhere she went, all she did was get validation, whether she was at church or on socials or listening to podcasts, that everybody just told her, you're okay as you are, everything's good, you do you, just keep going, you know, God loves you as you are, everybody loves you as you are. And she said, you know, she was a lot like me. I really identified with the woman that wrote this article because she's not beating her kids. Like, she's a good person, but she knows she needs to improve. She knows she screams at her kids. She knows she loses her temper and gets frustrated. She knows that things aren't what they could be in her home. She wants more, right? You know, she's striving. She wants to be better. She wants to grow, find balance. She wants to find ways to be a better mom and a better person. And she said she was so grateful when she found Jordan Peterson because he finally just called her out. He just said, you aren't who you could be. You aren't reaching your potential. You need to change. Yep. You need to improve. And it was huge for her. She said it was very, very helpful for someone to just validate what I was feeling deep down inside of me. And that was, there is something wrong. I do need to change. And I need some like signposts or something to help me know what direction to head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So law three, we love truth. So we actively seek out principles in the academy. We call them actionable principles. We teach you how to do that and how to apply those. And then law four, you're ready to love humanity by becoming a servant leader. This is where we really dive deep and learn how to follow the example of the greats. we become active lifelong learners. I listened to a podcast of yours recently talking about the information age and how just because it's information doesn't mean it's truth. And sometimes we get further from truth when we're in, you know, like absorbing all this information and not knowing how to filter it. And that we want to be lifelong learners, but we need to know how to be truth seekers. And that's what the book is attempting to help people become better at, everything that I do. And so true servant leadership is to know how, and because you know how to love yourself properly, you know that your needs don't come before anybody else's, but their needs don't come either. Because you're taking good care of yourself, you can now go out and be of true service. And because we do some work in worldview, and really to see and understand people where they're at, why they think what they do, why they do what they do, why they believe what they believe, so that we can build bridges with them and we can know how to bring principled solutions to real world problems. 5, 6, and 7 are leadership laws. We hear the call, we know how to discern that, and then we take courageous action. And that's where we, wherever we stand, we try to implement true principles into whatever problems we're finding, wherever our gifts and talents take us. I give you some examples of some of the graduates of our academy, what they're doing, how they're using this information. But ultimately, there's quite a few stories in the book, and it's really beautiful to see how this path so beautifully brings you to becoming someone you didn't think you could be, to doing things that you didn't think you would be able to do. And it's all because you lay a good, solid foundation. One of the things I talk about in the book is those 4 foundational laws. You never stop loving God, and sometimes you need to return and level up and return to loving yourself and level up. A really nice story I like to talk about with Mother Teresa. I have a podcast on her you can listen to, but she had done a myriad of things, and she was all the way to the point after having done a whole bunch of different work, and she kept learning more about herself and answering the next call. Life mission isn't one call, it's lots of calls. And so she's now had this call to go out into Calcutta to where their dump is and to try to serve the people in some way. And she's gotten permission from Catholic Church. She's out there trying to do this. And her health falls apart. Why? Because she wasn't loving herself properly. Return to those foundational laws again. She had to meet her real needs. She had to make sure she was taking good care of herself. She always took good care of herself spiritually. She wasn't taking good care of herself physically. So she couldn't engage in God's call until she went back to these foundational laws and lived this principle again. So that's why having this little handbook, having these laws and principles at hand to review and come back to again and again and again is so helpful to engaging in the next stage of our growth. And then, of course, the beautiful flourishing of you and your family as you bring them on this journey with you.
You know, as you're talking about the laws that you label as the laws of leadership, and mm-hmm. you're not talking here in the narrow way that we often think of leadership. So I love business books. I love leadership books. I love all of that. Yeah. And it's astounding to me how many of the principles that people write about in the context for people who are in the C-suite. So your CEOs and people leading businesses, usually for profit, sometimes not for profit or whatever. The very same principles apply in leading your own home, your own yes. self, your own family. And so I don't want our listeners to think, oh, well, the whole point of these first 4 foundational laws is so you get to the point that then you can try to motivate or grow yourself into a C-suite position in a for-profit business. That may be exactly where you need to go.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to think of leadership just in those ways that we typically think of it in the culture, yeah. because leadership is so much bigger and broader than that. And sometimes as Christian women, we can especially shy away from words like leadership, because then it can sound like, oh, wait a minute, and then you kind of get into the whole differences in terms of male and female roles, whether in the home or in the church or the community. And we're not diving into all of that. But I want to be very clear, maybe you can speak to this a little bit more, and that is when you're talking about leadership, and you mentioned some of the examples of people in your academy, how has that played out, not just in those traditional kind of ways, but how is that getting lived out in what we might not typically label as, quote, leadership?
Yeah. So let me give you some micro examples and then some bigger examples. So when you learn and strive to live according to these foundational laws, your lens changes. You see the world more clearly. You think in terms of what is the principle here, and it really sculpts a more efficient way of living. You become a really stellar discerner. You go back out into the world with skills to discern right and wrong. I could give you a lot of examples of exercises that we do and things that we do. But so one small example of leadership in the home, we're all leading right now. Moms, dads, women, whoever you are that's listening, you're a leader. You're just either a good one or a bad one. You're a principled one or you're an unprincipled one. You're a leadership, you're a servant leader or you're not. Like, you are all, people are watching you. People have you in their sights. Your example matters. And so what we're trying to do is help you to be a better one. So one small example, I had a student contact me. She asked me if we could get on a short phone call because she had a very specific question she wanted to ask me personally. She said that she had, I think she was through level two. She learned all about principles in level three or something like that at the academy. I can't remember exactly where she was at. She hadn't finished, but she had learned enough of this to be aware that there are principles and there are applications, and they're not the same thing. So her husband had a pornography issue, and they were in marriage therapy, and her husband acted out. And so she went to her therapist, and her therapist said, "Then you need to kick him out of the house." And this woman had the leadership ability and the skill set to contact me and say, "Okay, here's what I think. I think that she's trying to impress upon me an application and not a principle. And I think that the principle is this. And I think this other application that I feel God is leading me to is better for my family." And so I said, "You're absolutely right." And her ability to discern that principle and then to see that a different application was better for her family was her being a principled servant leader in her home, standing up to an authority figure in her life, being the expert on her own problems and issues, utilizing the relationship with God and herself and her family that she'd already worked really hard to develop and to improve. So those are micro ways in which we're discerning, we're filtering, you know, where should we go? What activity should we engage in? What should I allow in my home? What kind of conversations should we have? All of that, you're already a leader, whether you like it or not. We just want you to, you need to be a better leader. You can be a better leader. And then in more maybe visible ways outside the home, our graduates are doing a myriad of things, serving on local school boards, heading up local chapters of their governmental party. One woman has gotten some land in Mexico, and she is starting a boarding school for orphans in Mexico. One woman helped found a charter school in her town. One woman used her gifts for sewing and creativity to start a group of girls together and sew. She's taught them to sew, but they also take time to sew the things that girls need, the feminine products that are needed, like in Africa and things like that. So there's a myriad of different activities. I think one woman has started a business. Most of the other ones, another one contacted me recently. She's serving in a nonprofit organization for families and helping build curriculum for them. just a myriad of places wherever their time and talents are taking them, but they're applying, and this is that subtitle of Courageously Execute, apply principled solutions to real world problems. Wherever you find them, maybe you find them in the PTA, maybe you find them in the church Bible study group, like wherever you find them, you are now a woman of courage who steps up instead of staying silent, instead of wondering, instead of having question marks, you know, instead of saying, I don't know the answer, or I don't know how to discern that, or I can't, you know, raise my hand. You're now the one that's raising your hand. I have a book called Servant Leader by Greenleaf. Such a great book. I have a handful of servant leadership books, but this is a good one. And one of the things he said is the greatest threat to good leadership in our culture, which is so desperately needed. People are screaming for good leadership. He said, the greatest threat is not really the non-servant leaders. It's those who could be servant leaders, but don't choose to be, and individuals who don't choose to follow servant leaders. They can't discern and identify the servant leaders to follow the appropriate leaders so that the right leaders can lead. And
that's powerful. Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting. I just had an email in my inbox a couple of days ago from a nationally known therapist whose work I like. And I appreciate what you said earlier, by the way, and just your honesty about recognizing that the therapist that you went to early on with your husband, that it, while it provided some help, it wasn't a fix. And being able to recognize, I think this person has taught me all they know. And having spent a lot of my own life in many different counselors' offices, I have my own version of how we do therapy in the United States. And it is not always it's not always the solution. And oftentimes it is because there's not that distinguish between here's the principle. Let's get down to the principle. It becomes about application. Oh, you have this. Here's the application. And those become formulas that can end up doing more harm than good. I will get off of that rabbit trail. But what he was talking about was he counsels and works with a lot of pastors, not only pastors, but a lot of pastors. And the difference that he sees in someone who can have tremendous spiritual knowledge, who can have great biblical knowledge, who can be very skilled even in terms of certain aspects of what we would call leadership, and yet their character is very undeveloped. And so I like how you continue to come back to this leadership is not based on a set of people skills. Oh, if I learn how to be charismatic enough, if I learn how to build a big enough platform, if I know how to, this is a character-based leadership. Absolutely. And you make that very clear because that's sustainable and that ultimately is going to help people and not sacrifice your own family or your own community in the process of that.
I was just going to say that one of the things that you reminded me of is in Covey's Seven Habits book, he talks about how he was studying the success literature of the United States starting at its origin in 776 and to the current day. This was in the late 80s. And he said that in the 50 years prior to him doing that, so it would have been in the 20s, 30s, 40s in the United States, there was a great shift in the success literature in the United States. And he called personality versus character ethic. And so he says for the first 200 years, you know, almost 200 years, 150 years of America's existence, our success literature was really very character-based. It was really very steeped in you've got to be a certain kind of person if you expect to have a happy life or to have influence or any of those things versus personality, you know, pick up these traits, skills, and tools, say the right things, do the right things, and then people will follow you and you'll be a leader. And that's really what we're talking about is a character ethic approach to living. And people really underestimate how much better you will feel when your character is your focus. Like really, you're the biggest winner. You just really start to have an inner sense of peace, an inner sense of confidence settles in on you, And then you begin, you know, people just start to pay better attention to what you're doing, how you're living, what you're saying, simply by virtue of the fact of who you're being.
Right. And I think it goes back to what you talked about early in terms of self-love and seeing that as self-mastery. And this is, and so being able to see that in that Christian ethic and what you were talking about there, you know, as far as the character versus the personality leadership, that has not just stopped at the church doors, right? And so we've seen that. And it's not always a matter of people who are deliberately deceitful or manipulative. Sometimes it's just a matter that we haven't taught how do you actually develop character? Because it sounds great, right? Oh, we all want our kids to have great character, but what does that mean? I mean, it's got to mean more than hold the door open for somebody and don't slap your sister.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
But oftentimes that's as far kind of as we get. We have these list of traits, but we don't get to the heart level and we don't get to the discernment level of character. And so I love that.
And
you
just
get down to those levels and it's not just, oh, be nice.
Yeah.
You know, kind of things. Can you talk to us about, share with us about the work that you do? Talk to us more about the book, the academy that you have, speaking to, walk people through, because this isn't just a conversation that listeners can just hear and walk away from, but there are resources that you have to be able to make this sustainable and to really, because we're just talking at the surface level, folks. I mean, we haven't even gone like to the first level of this. There's so much here, but I love the fact that it is something that is meaningful without being confusing. Because sometimes in our culture, we tend to equate significant with like, it's just so confusing. Oh, it must be deep if it's really confusing. It's like, nope, that's not it. So it has substance to it, but it's understandable and it's actionable. So tell us all the things about what people can do and how they can connect with you and what you're doing.
Okay. So I went on this journey to try to find, uncover the principles, and in the meantime, wanted to repair, you know, my own life. So over the last 15 years or so, 20 years, just kept studying, you know, coaching had failed us, online courses had failed us, you know, we had all the cassette tapes, we went to the conferences, we tried the therapy, and I just wanted to find answers. And so I used the framework of, okay, so I've got some laws and principles to work with, and I've got scripture to be my standard of truth. So I'm going to keep going out there and finding material and checking in and looking for the principles that undergird these areas that I want to repair. And over time, we put our lives in order. We were able to put our house in much better order. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's not because I'm smart or whatever. It's because we just searched and searched and searched. And so the book is a beautiful starting place. It's a perfect way to be introduced to what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, to see it in action. The podcast, you can listen to all the mission-driven stories of all those individuals. But I don't claim to be the authority on this. What you're going to find when you sign up in the academy is I have vetted materials from the very best men and women all throughout history. And, you know, you'll grab a book, you'll read a few pages from it. You'll watch a short video where I present information from other individuals who taught that principle in specific ways. Every section of the academy has a principles list, and you're looking for those and finding those and the stories that you read and engage with. And then you're practicing them in your home. We give you family read aloud so that you can read novels with your children and identify the principles that we've outlined for you and build more of a principle-centered home. And really, I want to show you these principles over and over and over again from multiple sources, from people who believe in God and people who don't believe in God, from people 2,000 years ago and people today. And I want to prove it's not Audrey saying this. I'm not the authority. The framework is what works. The principles are what solve the problem. And that as you get more serious learning and living those, your life will begin to flourish. And we've worked with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of women at this point, and they tell us the same thing over and over again, that they're beginning to flourish, that they're beginning to see life through this lens, that they feel better at discerning, that they have more confidence, that they feel more fulfilled. There's a lot of self-discovery. We focus heavily level one of our loving God and loving yourself. And so you work on your relationship with God all throughout, using scripture as a checkpoint for everything that you learn. And then we help you walk through these principles of meeting your real needs, disciplining your heart and mind, and developing your God-given gifts. There's over 7 self-assessments and tests that you take to uncover things about yourself that you never would have known and see yourself in a new way, because you're amazing. And we know that you're super good at beating yourself up, and you don't need to do that anymore. You lean into your strengths. Max Lucado talks about this a lot. We spend a little bit of time in his Cure for the Common Life. That's one of the tools that we use. And if you will focus on your strengths, you will find that you'll have to work on your weaknesses eventually. But when you do it from a position of strength, it's so much easier. God helps you to do that. So we welcome you in. In terms of logistics, it's a course. You just follow the course, you watch the video, or you read the thing, or you do the activity, and there's an app for that you can, it'll always replace, and you can come back to the next thing that you need to do. They're matched. That's very, very robust. It has all the functionality of Facebook. We have mentors in there who are women just like you, who've made it all the way through the academy, and they're turning around and mentoring you through the content that changed their lives. And we several times a month, we get on live online discussions. We do workshops. I get on there and do Q&A, so the women never have to be stuck. They never have to worry about having the support that they need. There's challenges they can sign up for and do a challenge to help them get motivated. We help them find an accountability partner. That's a huge part of the whole process. And then we've just recently added a directory. So there, and you can connect with any woman in the academy anywhere that she is. You can email her directly, and you can find women that live near you. Some of these women in the academy have become, I mean, we've heard from lots of them that their very best friends have come from this program. Because Stephanie, this is something that I didn't expect when I launched it. The reason I launched the academy was because I made it all the way through this process. Can I tell you one little quick last story?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So I was actually in a women's class, surrounded by many of my friends and neighbors. And we had a woman teaching the class. And this is when it all got real for me. So I was just on my journey doing my thing. And then I was in class, and she had these roses in her hand. And so before the class started, she just walked around and she handed roses to individual women in this class. And then she went back up, she started the class, and she said, okay, now, if I handed you a rose, I want you to come up to the front and put the rose in this vase. And then I want you to tell us something good about you or something that you're good at. And what I watched over the next 10 minutes was absolutely heartbreaking. I was floored. Woman after woman walked up, and we're with friends. It's not like you've got to hide behind something. It's not, you know, it's not a big, huge room of thousands of people. You know, there's 50 women in the room or whatever. You know, we're among friends. They should be comfortable. And woman after woman went up to the front and said something self-deprecating. I'm eating chocolate. I'm good at sleeping in. I'm good at gaining weight. I'm good at yelling at my kids. And I was like, either they genuinely don't know how amazing they are. I mean, I almost broke out in tears. I was so heartbroken. These women, I knew what kind of women they were. I knew that they loved God and they loved their families and they loved their friends and they were good people to the core. And you know, finally the last woman stood up, and I think she said something like, I'm good at reading scripture daily. And I was like, okay, well, good for you for actually saying something positive. And I went home, that sat with me for weeks. I prayed over that. I thought about that. I could not believe it. And for me, it was that moment where I realized, oh my heavens, these women are as in as much pain as I was in. I had no idea the level of suffering that was going on. Yeah. And I found some things and they helped me. So let me figure out how to pay it forward. Let me figure out how to give them what helped me. And so for a year, two women that I loved and trusted got on with me every single week. We vetted. I had already been teaching material and had vetted that, and it was working. It was helpful. It was good stuff. But it was, you know, I just, if people signed up, they did it. It was good. But now I was like, I got to really get serious about making this available. So that developed the academy for a year. We vetted more material, built it all out, and launched it in, I think, 2018. And since that time, have just been able to watch so many women's lives grow and develop and flourish. And some of these women have the closest relationships of their lives. But one of the things that I didn't expect was the caliber of women that is attracted to the program. I mean, they're mission-driven women. They want to be mission-driven. They want to, as the cover says, discover and fulfill their unique contribution to the world. They want to meet their potential and bring their family with them. They want to be better women, but also better moms and better wives, right? Like, so they want it all, and it feels impossible. It isn't, I'm not saying your life is going to be perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. But the next time you faced a major challenge, if you knew what to do, if you had a tool set that got you through, boy, that would be a very different life that you were living. And the confidence that exudes from these women and the opportunities that they have and the things that they do is just really amazing to me. So that's what kind of a little bit of what you can expect from the Academy. If you want to know more, obviously you can listen to the podcast, grab the book. If you're not absolutely sure about the book, go get two chapters for free. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage at themissiondrivenmom.com and grab two free chapters and start reading and see about it. If you want to grab the book for yourself. If you're a worrier, I've got a little mini training on top of the website. That it's a little tool. You can learn it in 10 minutes. It's something we do in the Academy. You'll stop worrying and you'll know how to use your worries into forward momentum. So there's a couple freebies on the homepage of the website you can go grab if that sounds helpful. But most of all, just learn and live these seven laws. We'll give you a cheat sheet if you want that. You really, I think, probably need the book for context around that. But that's what we're doing at the Mission Driven Mom, and seeing some tremendous results. It's really such rewarding work. I'm really feel so blessed every day that I get to spend time with these women. They're amazing.
Well, Audrey, I want to thank you, not just for coming onto the podcast, but I want to thank you for all of the choices that you've made and the personal growth that you have committed to, and learning and digging out these laws and these principles, and then articulating them in a way that is understandable. And it's not watered down, just, you know, fluffy stuff, but I think when people get the book, so listeners, you just need to get the book. Audrey won't tell you, so I'll just tell you. You just need to get the book and you need to read it. Go do the two sample chapters while you're waiting for the book to show up in your mailbox. But get the book, because I believe that as you read this, it's going to resonate, because truth has a way of resonating with us, because at some level, we know this, even if it's been covered over with layers of misinformation, over the years, or obscured by things that maybe were well-intentioned, but weren't accurate, that we've heard, you know, throughout our lives. And it is not humility to be insecure. Those are not the same things. And as you were talking about the self-deprecation, we have an enemy who wants us as women to be confused, to play small, because that means that we are being submissive if we're small. We're not trying to step out of bounds if we're small, and all those other lies that the enemy uses to keep us as individuals and our families and ultimately God's kingdom from growing with the quantity and the quality that, you know, we have the potential for. So Audrey, any last words that you want to leave our listeners with here before we close today?
I would just say that you don't have to stay stuck. If you're someone who doesn't have the confidence that you want to have, is struggling to navigate the confusing culture, and discern better for yourself and for your children. If you're someone that wants to begin to tap your potential, if you think you're not talented, I promise you are. If you don't have a lot of confidence, I promise it's in there. It can be nurtured and blossom. And not what's so beautiful is all of this will happen as you bring your family with you. We will teach you how to bring your family with you. We will give you the tools to live the principles and then turn around and teach those principles, build a principle-centered home. And that's what we need in our culture. We need mission-driven, principle-centered moms and homes that know how to call a spade a spade when it's needed and know how to stand up for truth, because they can identify their seekers and lovers of truth. And you don't have to stay frustrated, depressed, negative, anxious, stuck as you are. God has a plan for your life. I know that without a doubt. And you can uncover and partner with him and do things you never thought were imaginable for you.
So again, make sure to visit Audrey's website, The Mission Driven Mom. And while you are online, if you haven't already, hop over to my website, stephaniepresents.com, sign up for High Impact, check out the speaking engagements that I offer there. And as always, you can email me. There's a contact form as well on my website. Ask questions, make suggestions, request different topics that I would cover on this podcast. And maybe there's even a particular guest that you would really like to be able to recommend. You're always welcome to do that. All right, my friend, if you've listened very long, you've heard me say this, but don't let the familiarity of this cancel out its truth, because this is true. You have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.